So did Miss Nora Cower. I
yes,
learned everything I knew about copper from her.
That's right. All those old and Cornelius Grimes.
The thing, well, see, I wasn't around Mrs. Grimes, but she was always very much on her manners when I was there. You know, she didn't talk intimately. But Miss Cower, boy, she let it be known.
That's right.
She was so modest. She said when she married, and she'd say right before Mr. Butler, "I married Mr. Cower to reform him." He just laid in, you know. He never hit reform, but she didn't. And anyway, and he said, she was talking about how immodest the girls were, going around swimming in these short suits and all that. And she said, of course, that was the 20s. We'd just gone through the 20s. We had the flapper age and so forth. And she said that Mr. Cowan never even saw my feet until 6 months after we were married. He didn't
sit
right there. He didn't.
I know. Well, one of Zach's favorite tales about that generation, his aunt, his mother's sister, Aunt Minnie Cowan.
Yeah, that was
Uncle Walt's dancer's sister.
That was Bud's mother.
That's right. Bud Cowan's mother. Well, anyway, Uncle Jeff Cowan had this huge plantation.
That was his stepmother.
That's right.
I don't know who his mother was, but she was
there. Anyway, he had this hoop shoe, and those days, just a few landowners worked the tar out of those poor, ignorant people, blacks and whites, and got rich. That's where all the money in Colquitt came from. Slave labor, you might say. Well, anyway, Zach could tell this and just laugh. He thought it was so funny. And so foreign to the way he felt, because he called them my people. That's what he said. These rich people that they came and said, my people. He'd go to Atlanta free for nothing in a lobby for the farming class of people, my people. Anyway, Uncle Jeff had a commissary. All these big farmers had these commissaries, which was a little store, and they had to trade there. The farmer did.
Mm-hmm.
They had no
credit.
Money.
Had credit.
Yeah, had credit. Mm-hmm. And then in the fall, they would come in and settle up. Business is practically still worked like that in some areas in Colquitt. Anyway, this farmer came in, and Uncle Jeff had his long list, barrel of flour and cider, meat, and this, that, though. He said, "Mr. Cowan, I didn't get that. I didn't get that flour. I didn't get that meat. We were very conservative. We lived out of our garden. I wanted to have a little something this fall. I didn't get this, and I didn't get that." And Uncle Jeff says, "Oh, my God! You should have got it. It was here for you." He charged him with it, whether he got it or not. Now that was true, and Zach said that's how the fudge money got here. That's how all this money came in. And you see, I wasn't really brought up in Colquitt. I was brought up in Middle Georgia. But I visited my grandmother all the time, and of course I married and moved there when I was quite young. But I can still see Zach telling that, "Oh, my God, it was here for you, you should have got it." So there wasn't a thing the farmer could do, you know.
Well, everybody did. Well,
everybody that made money did.
I don't know.
That's right. Old man Fudge, I've heard them tell tales about what he did to his farmers, and it wasn't all lies, everybody. You just didn't hear all that. You wasn't brought up there like I was.
Funniest thing I ever heard about old man Fudge. That was, Mr. Fudge was a big landowner, and his son, he was dead when I went there, but his sons and daughters were still living. And they were, you know, Harry Jones across the creek that owned all that big farm over there where he married us, the Fudge. Mm-hmm. He married the land, in other words. And Jim Fudge had the gin there in town. That was his. And they were nice people and all. They had inherited a whole lot. I guess he couldn't help that. But anyway, Mr. Fudge evidently must have had a reputation for being quite a tomcat. And when Miss Annie and Miss Hetty Dixon, those two old ladies that lived in the house right at the corner where you turn to go to the church, there by the school, you know, there was a little music house sitting on the ditch over there, and then right across there was a house with a picket fence around it. Well, that was the Dixon sisters that lived there, very nice ladies. They were both widows, but their mother lived. She was living when I went there quite a number of years. Mm-hmm. She was a frail little white
hair. Beautiful white hair.
Nice little hair. Her skin was like porcelain. Mm-hmm. I remember her. Well, she became a widow somewhere way back there. And Aunt Dola Bush told me this. And she said that Mr. Fudge thought, you know, with all of his money, that she would be interested in him. So he sent a black boy down to her with a note that he would like to come see her, or would want to meet him or something, I don't know. She took the note, sent the boy away. She was sewing. She took in sewing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Worked hard, had nothing, but just got along. But she was an honest, good woman. She put on her hat, took her little purse, and she went walking to town just as fast as she could walk. And she went up on that sidewalk there, you know, the high sidewalk, and she could see old Mr. Fudge sitting in his chair in front of the store, big old fat man. And she said, sitting there like an old tomcat. She came just stamping down the street just as fast as she could. She stopped, got right straight in front of him. And just before he opened his mouth to speak to her, she popped his jaw just as hard as she could. Turn around with that house. Right up down the streets.
Good for her.
And that was the funniest thing.
But you know what?
He didn't bother Miss Dixon anymore.